Again, my name is Alan, and we fellowship at Westwoods Bible Chapel, sort of the mother church. Thank you guys for having me, and for Brian for having me here. So we're gonna start this out off of the story here, and it's a story about two women, and for the sake of the story, we'll just call the younger woman Hannah, and the older woman Bessie. Now, Bessie was in the last year of her life. She was 90 years old and had lived a good life filled with many wonderful memories. She resided in an assisted living facility close to her family. Her family visited her often, and she loved them very much. She had resided at the assisted living facility for several years and knew most of the staff working there. One day, a young woman named Hannah started working there. She was a PCA, or a personal care assistant. She could tell that Hannah was struggling a bit with her tasks, running from room to room, assisting the residents with their needs. But it was evident that her spirit was special and that she brought a measure of joy wherever she went. Alas, Hannah now came to see Bessie and asked her if she needed any help. Now, Bessie was frail and unsteady from her Parkinson's. She wore oxygen at all times. The task at hand was getting her to the bathroom. Hannah quickly untangled the oxygen tubing and made the path clear for her to get to the bathroom. Hannah got in position and 1, 2, 3, got her up. Bessie was now vertical. Hannah handed her the walker and assisted her to the bathroom. This was the first of many evenings that Hannah would help out Bessie. Bessie and Hannah quickly became friends. It was easy to be friends with Hannah. She was sweet, gentle, and easy to talk to. She listened as Bessie told her about her family and her life growing up. Bessie always taking some slow breaths in between to inhale her oxygen. Bessie was also excited to hear about Hannah's fiancé. She lived vicariously as Hannah would tell her all the romantic things that her fiancé would do for her. As the year passed, each one would anticipate seeing the other during the evening time. Hannah quickly became more efficient at her job. What Hannah would wish would do is she would work as hard as she could to take care of the other residents' needs so that at the end of her shift, she could spend the last 45 minutes with Bessie. As had become the routine, Hannah would help Bessie with her toileting, get her cleaned up, helping her into the nightgown and into her recliner. As Bessie would recline, Hannah would sit down on the floor next to Bessie. Now, Bessie's feet were riddled with arthritis and were dry and cracked. Hannah plopped some lotion out and gently began to massage Bessie's aged feet. Bessie was in heaven during this time, for as Hannah massaged, they would chat about their day. This was Bessie's favorite time of the day, for she thought of Hannah not only as one of her workers, but as family. Bessie soon started to decline and was placed in hospice. Thankfully, she didn't need to go anywhere, and her care was continued at her assisted living facility. Hannah would care for her every night in the same fashion, ending it with that out-of-this-world foot massage. Unfortunately, Hannah had to move away to go to school. The news came back that Bessie had passed peacefully. Hannah was deeply grieved at hearing this. She longed to be back in Bessie's room, caressing her feet as they laughed and talked the night away. Through all this, Hannah had kept a marvelous secret from Bessie. Hannah was absolutely mortified at the thought of touching other people's feet. Hannah would have to double glove whenever she had to assist anyone else with her foot care, but not with Bessie, for Bessie enjoyed her massage much better without gloves. Though Hannah knew that her worst nightmare situation was Bessie's dream of paradise, it had become one of the most rewarding experiences to her. For in that time, together with Bessie, she grew to love and adore her, all of her, even her feet. All right. So why did I start with a story, first of all? Brian always, when he comes to Westwood, he starts with a story. So I don't know if... here at Bristol, you guys are conditioned to hearing stories, and so in order to get invited back, I had to start off with this story so I could come back again to see you guys. But I just wanted to kind of impress upon you just the sort of the personal nature of the story here is how the relationship between these two women was based upon love and care for one another, and at the heart of it was this care for the foot massage. And so that was really important, just to kind of, as we go forward and think about the feet of the Lord Jesus and how personal it is to be with another person in that position. So we're going to see if this will work. We'll have to give it a good click here. All right. So the real reason this is actually based off of, I know my wife's looking at me, is this is the true names is Helen and my wife, Katrin. This is based off of a true story of their relationship. So this is pretty special, observing it. So I was the romantic fiance in the story. So there we go. Give it a good click. All right. So the real intention is to focus on the person of the Lord Jesus. And again, thank you for the invitation to speak about this topic here. Give it a good click. Oh boy. All right. Let's just go tap through all these here. All right. So the first thing we're going to do is look at five characteristics in the Gospels that deal with, or throughout the Word of God, that deal with the feet of the Lord Jesus. We're going to do five things we can find at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and four things we can give at his feet. And so if you're making an outline, you can make a 1 through 5 with the characteristics, and then so on and so forth here. Let's see if we can, are you just clicking it? So why did I pick this topic? I think there's no better topic than talking about the Lord Jesus. And so for kind of my first message here, I wanted to give that to you. So this is going to be tough. I know. If you just want to click. Through there we go. All right. So there are several times where in the Gospels the feet of the Lord Jesus are mentioned, and so we're going to explore those. And the point is to really figure out what people have found there. So go to the next slide here. All right, so this is a helpful hint. As I would encourage you is to kind of put yourself into each individual encounter. We're going to talk about many different encounters. And so each person found something different when they encountered the Lord Jesus and his feet. And so whenever you have to be near to someone's feet, you have to be in a position of humility and, sort of low at thy feet. And so as we go forward, just take that attitude to be low at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And you can go back and review, use another time. All right. Just want to bring up all five of those. All right. There's one more. There we go. Thank you for your help back here. All right, so the five characteristics we're going to talk about are supernatural, beautiful, sovereign, brazen, and pierced. I'll go to the next slide. You can just bring up. All right, so here we have a passage from Mark. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And really, truly, the only person to have done this, in addition with Peter, and not following through, is the person of the Lord Jesus. His feet were truly supernatural. As a person of science, this is. And I was actually trying to paddleboard. Has anyone ever tried paddleboarding before? So we're out there trying to balance on the paddleboard, and we fell off, so many times. And every time you don't hit the water and stay there, you fall through. Again, it's breaking the laws of physics. For every action, there's an equal reaction. The bonds between water don't have enough force to keep you above water, and so you fall through. But This is the Lord Jesus, and his feet were truly supernatural. If we can just click through the slides here. And the response was that he truly was the Son of God. So this revealed his really divine nature of the Lord Jesus and his supernatural feet. Go to the next slide. Go to the next one. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. All right, so next one is beautiful. And you can see this is a picture probably from a movie of Jesus walking with his disciples. And the verse is from Isaiah. It says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." And we can just bring up the next slide. Thank you. All right. You can bring up all the I think there's three points on here. And this is just correlating with the prior verse. So who has beautiful feet like the Lord Jesus? That bring good news. And it says, "After this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, who proclaimed peace." In John, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." And then also who proclaimed salvation, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. So we'll talk about this in the next slide here. All right. So as you know, again, how did the gospel get around? They didn't have cars. They didn't have, you know, motorcycles. They probably did a little bit of some boating, you know, in between the seas. But the majority of how the gospel was spread was on feet. So if you were to examine the Lord Jesus, you would see that his feet were probably dirty, calloused from walking and from you know, being on foot. He didn't stay around. He was always on his feet going somewhere. And so you could say this is, how beautiful are the feet of the Lord Jesus to those who have lost their way, to those who have no peace, to those who are steeped in sin, and for those who need salvation. And so when we read that verse, it's talking about the Lord Jesus, is how beautiful are the Lord Jesus, his feet. He brought good news. He proclaimed peace. And he brought good tidings and proclaimed salvation. And so we can truly say that the Lord Jesus met all of these qualifications here. To someone who met him, his feet would truly be beautiful for the message that he brought to them. I can go to the next slide. Thank you. All right, so the next one is sovereign, and that usually means above. Is the one super. And as you can see in this picture, that's the foot of the Lord Jesus, and there's a snake, which is a reference to the foot crushing the head of the snake. But in sovereign, you think of royal power and status. And in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians, it alludes to this, that all of his enemies are going to be placed underneath his feet. Including Satan. And not only that, it says God placed all things under his feet. So his enemies, all things are under his feet and appointed to him. And so he is, again, head of the church. Go to the next slide, please. All right. So as we just discussed about that. So in the future, God and his enemies will be conquered and put under his feet. And the nice thing about that is that we're not like the snake under the foot of the Lord Jesus, because we're no longer his enemies. We've been reconciled to him. And so for his enemies, that's a foot where you're looking up, and you know you're going to be stomped. But for us, we're not under his judgment anymore. And so we're not under the sovereign foot of the Lord Jesus. We're under his feet in terms of him being over us, but we're no longer His enemies were not going to be trampled by him. Go to the next slide. So this next one is brazen, and we had just talked about the brazen altar we sang about. But this is, if you ever worked in metalwork or if you ever visited some sort of factory, maybe you've seen someone working with metal, but this is the bright glow that's this gentleman here is wearing a mask and while working with the metal. But if you see that, you can barely look at it just because it's so bright and it's hot. And from Revelation, we have an allusion to the Lord Jesus Christ here when it says his feet, again, this is speaking of Jesus, were bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. So if you can imagine that his feet were, they stood out. If you were to look at someone and their feet looked like that, it would easily catch your notice. We go to the next slide. All right. So it says brass is, again, a metal highly prized for its strength and durability. Again, it's also a brilliant. It's also noted for its brilliance. And let's just read this thing here. It says so. Again, as the symbolism can mean that of the brazen, the bright's feet is that it symbolizes his perfect life and walk on earth. So walk and feet are sort of associated with each other. And also his judgment of the nations. His walk was tested, again, put through the fire, and was found to be pure and without imperfection, as bronze as in a furnace. Again, he's therefore the only judge equipped to judge believers and non-believers righteously, for he alone walked a perfect life. Again, it's brilliant, it's strong, it's durable. His feet are the only ones capable of doing that. But for believers especially, he is a faithful high priest who is able to help us in our time of need. So we can rely upon him for that. Go to the next slide. Here we have pictured below someone, again, this is again a picture of someone whose feet have been pierced. Again, when in one of the Gospels, I think it's cut out a little bit, so I apologize. It says, but he was pierced for our transgressions, and after he came and was resurrected, he talks about saying, look at my hands, and he also says, look at my feet, for those were where he was crucified. Go to the next slide. So his pierced feet and his hands were his identification mark to his disciples. It's me. It's me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. This is how he identified himself to his disciples. And one of the neat things is that, I think in heaven we'll also recognize him as that, and that if throughout eternity he will have those indelible marks. And not only that, he stands before the Father and shows his hands and his feet as well. And if there's any accuser that comes before the Father, the Lord Jesus is there with his pierced hands and his feet to say that that nobody can have a claim against the chosen and the beloved. And again, in Revelation, it talks about that one of the marks that distinguishes the Lamb is that he had looked as if he had been slain. And so I think that's an allusion as to the marks are still on him. All right. So we reviewed, again, sort of the five different things that his feet are supernatural, beautiful, sovereign, brazen, and pierced. Now we're just going to look, go to the next slide, and look at the five things that we can find at the feet of the feet of Jesus. The first thing is stability, healing, hope, mercy, and his word. Let's start with stability. (Clears throat) It says, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.'" It says, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And they said, "Truly you are the Son of God." They worshipped him. Go to the next slide. One of the neat things is that whenever we come to Lord Jesus with a problem, or whenever we come to him, we know that the ground that he's on is the ground that you want to be on, because it's stable ground. So wherever his feet are, doesn't matter if it's in the middle of an ocean, doesn't matter if it's on solid ground. You know, if he's in the boat, everything got calmed down. Even in the middle of the wreckage and the storm, you know, that's the place to be. So his feet are a place where we want to be standing. The ground that he is on is somewhere we want to be. So my encouragement is to be near to his feet, and we can do things that are far above what we can usually do with our own two feet. And again, we are encouraged to walk by faith and not by sight. Let's talk about healing. So it says, "Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet." Laid them at his feet, and he healed them. This is a pretty special encounter. So there's two parties that are involved here. Again, there's the ones who are sick and are debilitated and can't help themselves, and there's the ones that are bringing them. And so you have to ask the question is where are you bringing your friends, your family members, those who are ill? Are you bringing them to someone else? Are you laying them at the feet of the Lord Jesus, who's, you know, proven over and over again that he has, as we read this morning, not only he's had the willingness and the ability to heal. Again, I work in medicine as a PA, and so I'm often, again, very willing to heal people, but my resources are often limited, and I can't cure some things. There are some things are again incurable, but he is both willing and able to heal, and so I would encourage you again, bring them, and again, leave them at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Again, just a reminder is that God doesn't always promise immediate healing or even physical healing. This is not something that we can see, but we know that He is glorified in people even when they are sick, and he gives strength to people when they're in need. And so that's something that he does promise, is strength along the way. But he has far greater purposes that he can use through healing and for his glory. But we know that if we, in a spiritual sense, if we come to him and we even give our friends over to, again, for spiritual, we should be praying for them and give them praying for them and bringing our requests to the feet of the Lord Jesus, just as these people did. And if they place their faith in him, we know that that is guaranteed to be spiritually healed. All right. Mark 5 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And it's all about hope. And so we'll just read this quickly here. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Instead of getting worse, instead of getting better, she became worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. Then the woman, knowing that what had happened, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Let's just talk about this a little bit. Go to the next slides. And I call Mark chapter 5 the chapter of hope. We're going to talk about another person who's in Mark 5, but we're going to talk about a different section. But there's three different stories here. One gentleman is dealing with death. Another one is dealing with demon possession, and another one is dealing with disease. So how often do we encounter these three things in our lives? And these are usually seemingly insurmountable things. But again, the important thing to remember is that when these people are there, they're at their last straw. They've gone to the doctors. They've prayed to their gods. There's nothing else left, and that's an important thing. Is that sometimes God allows these difficult things to happen because He wants us to end up at His feet. Okay. He wants us to say, "The world has failed me, but You, Jesus, are my only hope." And again, sometimes that ends up happening. And so when we put our faith in Jesus as our only hope, He is able to do great things in and through us. And again, if you read later on, the Jairus' daughter was, again, put yourself in that, if you have a little daughter or somebody, how desperate you would be to do anything, to go anywhere, to go. I can't imagine the gentleman we talked about this morning to go any the hospital, wherever you need to go, to travel, to do whatever you need to do. But at the end of the day, the only hope that we have is in the Lord Jesus, because again, He is willing and able. So He is at His feet. You can find hope, and that's an important thing to have. Go to the next one. All right, mercy. Again, this is actually further on in Mark, but we're going to read in Luke what this happened. It says, "When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, don't torture me.'" And again, you know the story about how he was, again, chained hand and foot, kept under guard, broke the chains. Again, he'd been under possession by a demon. It says, "When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Let's go to the next slide. All right. Mercy. What is mercy? Compassion, love and kindness, withholding judgments. Again, it's something that's not deserved, and it's an inexhaustible trait of God. He is merciful. And again, the great acts of mercy, this is a quote from BibleStudyTool.com. "The great acts of mercy shown by God to the people of Israel found intimate expression in the ministry of Christ. The pattern He set, however, was not a new one, for He simply worked out the mercy of God at the human level." Again, for the Lord Jesus Himself is God, but He worked it out at the human level. This is seen most clearly in his acts of healing. I think one of the best acts of healing was this demon-possessed man. All right. Next slide. All right. So the conclusion, it says, this is Jesus speaking. It says, "Go home to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So I highlighted in the passage for you to take note of what was happening the first time that he fell at his feet. He was terrified, he was scared, he was yelling at the top of his lungs. The second time, we see him clothed, sitting at the feet, ready to do whatever the Lord Jesus would have commanded. What a difference. Again, it says, by the time Jesus is done, he is sitting down at his feet with love and adoration for the Savior. Again, no longer under judgment, but under grace. Again, the demons were the ones that were, again, sort of speaking through him, but were afraid of the judgment that would come upon them. But what a miraculous change, that no longer under judgment, but under mercy and grace. It's just amazing how God is able to work in us, and that when he does so, his attributes are clearly shown and he gets the glory. So on the flip side, it says we must tell others of what happens at the feet of Jesus. And that's what this man did. He found mercy. And if we're not telling people what happens, if that we found mercy as well, we need to be more like this man. Go to the next slide here. Thank you once again for helping out with the changes over here. All right. In Luke 10, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Again, take note of how she's listening. She's comfortable. She's sitting down. She's ready to hear what the Lord has to say. Again, we should be more like Mary in this fashion, who devoted her time and attention to hearing what the Lord Jesus had to say. So if you're interested in hearing what the Lord has to say, again, you can take that position and as it were, sit and be near to the Lord Jesus to hear what he has to say. Let's go to the next slide, thank you. What must we do at the feet of the Lord Jesus? What have people done? They brought worship, thanksgiving, crowns, and adoration. Let's start with worship. In Matthew 28, it says, so will the women, hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them, he says. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshiped him. Again, Jesus is not before us, and we, don't have a physical place to do that, but we talk about worshiping in spirit and in truth. And this is another quote. It says, the true worship of God is essentially internal, a matter of the heart and spirit, rooted in the knowledge of and obedience to the revealed word of God. So if we want to worship the Lord Jesus at his feet and clasp and hold on to them, and worship him, that's the place to do it. And one of the important things to know is that worship is alone reserved for God. And there's an account where the apostle John is again with an angel, and he falls down and he says, "No, don't do that. Don't worship me. Again, I'm just a fellow servant." And so, worship God. He points them in the right direction. But just to give you a contrast of Jesus, he deserved, and they held on to his feet, and he didn't turn it away because again, he is only the only one worthy to receive that type of worship and glorification. Let's turn to Thanksgiving. This is, again, another one of my favorite stories that's in the scriptures. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. This is the best part. And he was a Samaritan. Out of grateful hearts, we must return to the Lord's feet to thank him and give him praise for what he has done. This is in Ephesians. This is because, as you noticed before, they were standing at a distance. They're having to yell. After they're clean, though, what were they able to do? Was able to come near, able to come close, able to give thanksgiving. And it talks about, for us, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And so that Samaritan was able to come close and to give thanks, and he was the only one out of the 10 to do so. Let's move on to the next one, which is crowns. And this is from Revelation. Again, the word feet is not explicitly put here, but I think we can imagine, as in this photo, what is happening here. And it says, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And it says, and they lay their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Let's go to the next slide. So again, when we receive our crowns, it's amazing because we bring them right back to his feet, because everything we had is just the possession of him, and so in giving them back, we can glorify him. And and I put here is that if we bring our crowns back, there's nothing for us to distract us from worshiping him. We're not going to look at our shiny crowns, but we're going to put them at his feet and adore his feet and worship at there. So let's go to the next one, is adoration. Adoration's an interesting word. I think it's a little bit different than worship, and I think part of worship may be an adoration, but I think it's a little bit distinct and separate. And I think it's this story really, these two next stories really show adoration. It's amazing. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrance oil. In another passage of adoration, another woman. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. I mean, just what are these two beautiful examples of two women showing their I mean, this is adoration. This is for women, their glory is in their hair, right? And so for them to get down and to use their hair to clean the feet of the Lord Jesus is something that really speaks of putting their glory aside and serving him. And it's just such a beautiful example that we're going to end with of I think how we should act when we come across the Lord Jesus. So again, adoration is a deep love and respect. Again, in the first instance, the woman was a sinner, and as Jesus says later, says that she had been forgiven much, and so she loved much. And so that was, I think, her way of expressing how much she loved the Lord Jesus. And let us not forget how much the Lord has forgiven us, so that we too can be like this woman in adoration. And in the second instance, there was a purpose that Mary was performing, that he was preparing the Lord Jesus for his burial, excuse me. So, as I mentioned here, it says, let us draw near to his feet, knowing how much we have been forgiving, that we too may adore him and bring our best gift to anoint his beautiful feet. Let's have a little summary slide here. You just want to go through all of them and bring it up. Little arrows. All right, I think that's all of them. So, again, I put down the five sort of the characteristics. And so, in the first one, the supernatural, you remember that his supernatural feats brought out worship and saying, truly, he is the son of God, and his beautiful feet, for Mary and the woman who was a sinner, they were truly beautiful. They brought forth adoration. At his sovereign feet, we lay our crowns. I didn't make all the connections with all of them, but again, his healing brought forth thanksgiving, and his hope also brought forth worship. And again, his word brought forth also adoration. And so they're all sort of connected with each other. But I just wanted to kind of go over with you all the different times. And again, I never had connected the dots as to all the times that his feet were mentioned. And so it was interesting for me to go through the scriptures and to really look at what the scriptures say about his feet. So next thing is I'm going to read you a little poem here that brings it all together. All right, so the poem is titled The Feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus, I draw near. Come close, he bids. Have no fear. Over I go, and what do I see? Scars so deep, how can it be that the Savior bears them for me? 'Twas the price, so you can be free. These are the feet that walked on the lake. These are the feet that will trample the snake. Then in an instant there was a great light. His feet were aglow and oh so bright. These are the feet of the sovereign King. Glory, power, and honor do the angels sing. I am not the first to behold these feet so brave, for Jesus had first come to seek and to save. A woman no doctor could help to cope, suffered no more when Jesus gave her hope. The lame, the blind, the beggars who call, what love for Jesus healed them all. Breaking the chains of the man under possession, God's mercy drove him on a gospel mission. Don't forget Mary, who had a great seat, consuming every lure of life to eat. I glance away. Distressed, I began to sink in the sand. He pulls me up. I am the rock on which to stand. So what can I do to thank him now? I follow the Samaritan leper and take a bow. A sweet perfume wafts in the air to my face. I cry, I too am a sinner, saved by grace. My spirit worships him with the heavenly chorus as I draw nearer to those beautiful feet of Jesus. I think the last slide is, I have a video. I'm not sure if it'll play or not. Oh, good. So I'm just going to sit down and just think of this is my emotion, was just being overwhelmed at the feet of Lord Jesus.
You are glorious, oh God, there
Let's just close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, which reveals about you, your character, and just reveals about the special nature of your feet. And we thank you that in your word you have included many individuals who have come across it. Your feet were forever changed as a result of being there. And so we look to submit everything to your feet, to bow down, to worship, knowing that it's a place that many have found their only hope, that they're supernatural, that they're a place, and that they're to be adored, and that there's a special connection between your feet and just being close to you and being near to you and having a special relationship with you. And so we just thank you for that. And so as we go forth today, we just pray we would act as your feet as we go forth and tell others about what we have found at your feet. And we just step back and are overwhelmed again by just your beauty and just how special you are to each one of us. Anyways, thank you in your son's name. Amen. If any of you guys are interested,